following interview with George Frederick Mathia took place at 19 Louise Street, Netherlands. It was conducted by Ken Spillman on behalf of the Subiaco Historical Society on the 16th of August 1984.
Mr. Mathia, would you tell me your full name first?
Christian name first?
Yeah.
George Frederick Mathia.
And when were you born?
Well, I was really born in Queensland, Townsville. My father, he was always mixed up in the mining business. And he came over to Kalgoorlie and my wife.
Were they mining in Queensland, were they?
He was up around Cairns, you see, and those days, that seemed to be the first rush on that side. And she came over, my mother didn't come over straight away. I was only really a baby then, that would be in the late 90s. But she got to Kalgoorlie at 99 and...
1899.
Mm, travelling from, it took about 2 months to get there.
Oh.
He was travelling by ship all the way and to get to Fremantle and then from Fremantle to Kalgoorlie. And then he had a mine out at Laverton, out at Burtville, out from Laverton. And my mother came back down to Perth, the Subiaco.
Your mother came down to see
him
while he was on the...
There was no houses out where he was, it was only a mine. A cattle mine, good mine, but got a load of... But he went to England a couple of times. He was in a good syndicate, the Shentons and somebody else, you see.
George Shenton.
Yeah, you see. Shenton Brothers it was in those days. One lived on where the uni is now, and the other one the other side of the river.
Over, near the mill.
Further around, over towards Como. That's when we came to Subiaco.
You came down with your mother.
Oh yes, well it was for the family, you see. There was two brothers and two sisters.
And what year was that?
What's that?
What year was that you actually arrived in Subiaco?
In Subiaco, about 1903, I should think, about that.
And how old were you at that stage?
I was born in 98, that would be about 4 or 5 years, just before I started infant school, really.
And did your mother rent a house in Subiaco?
Oh yes, we lived in numerous. Yes. My father knew, he was a chasing gold all the time. He reckoned it was a waste of money buying a home. And we rented a place. First house was in Hammersley Road, right opposite the, just about two or three doors down from, what's the main road going down there?
Rockaby Road?
No, the other way. Around from the police station.
Right down near railway, right? Down that end.
It used to come around down from Bagot Road down. I can't think of the name. Not Shepton.
Was it near the Civic Centre?
Yes, right on the corner there.
Where the
it comes down there.
Yeah.
I can.
Yeah, I know.
You know where it is, you see there, yeah.
Which side of the road were you on?
Coming back to Rockaby Road.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
But it was nearly straight into through road. It's a through road now.
Did you think it was a nice house?
What's that?
Did you think it was a nice house?
A
night. A nice house.
Oh, no, it was only an old weatherboard in those days. I think they'd all be pulled down. I think they were pulled down. Then we went to a place in... right down into a couple of houses. Then we was up by Cornwall Railway Road and Barker Road.
Barker Road. Down near the hospital.
Yeah. See, but it wasn't a hospital in those days. It was an industrial reform. And then we went from there and right down the bottom end of Rockaby Road and railway, where they what's the name there? There was three or four nice homes there.
Near the railway station?
Yeah, it was all right. It was a station just across the line in the railway. There for a good while. All those houses were built by people named Jones.
Oh, yes.
See, they had all that square out through to Catherine Street. And in those days, where they're parking now, that was Seddon Street, with a row of semi-detached. But Miller's were on the corner, Miller's Timber, on each corner,
yes,
where Bradman House is now and all the other. And we was the first house next to Miller's.
On Rockaby Road?
On Rockaby Road, facing Rockaby Road, and on the corner, practically, well, up from Miller's. Then went from there, always seemed to be changing houses, you see, into Rowland Street. The old place is still there, but it's used as a sort of a factory or something, I think, now. People named Kensons had it. The Kensons, an old family too, of around there.
He was a councillor.
Yes, in those early days he was, and his wife died, you see. So we went to his place, which was getting more, a better house, I suppose, and, well, one of the other was quite good. But, of course, I can remember these, because when we lived in Rowland Street, I can remember that. We'd been changing schools on top of it before that. And then we went to place in Barker Road, just this side of Dennis Street, you see, the Rockaby Road side, people named Darbin. I always seem to be following the death, because Mrs. Darbin got killed in had a sulky and got caught in the tram line going down to there, and she was tossed out. We took his place over for a good while. I think a lot of these people, you know, had deceased. It was hoping that you'd buy these places. You see, that's why they used to chase you to. Those days there was no electric light in that house, but he got the light put on for us. We were there for a few years, and my mother then decided it was about time we bought something too. Bought a place up in Salisbury Street, you see, getting up near the park, around getting towards Nicholson Road.
Chester Park.
And they're only new homes built by Chester, you know, the old mayor later on. The war started then, and the eldest brother, he enlisted, that was 1915. Went to this place reckon she couldn't afford to keep her with my father. In those days was in England.
Oh.
He'd been sent over by the but when he was in England, apparently got picked up by or selected by somebody to go out to South America, and he went out to the Republic of Colombia out there, up into the Andes Mountains. My mother said she couldn't keep this house going on with her brother, and I had to go to work, which I unfortunately, I suppose, and I had two sisters, another brother, and two sisters. Well, there's no such thing as widows or separated, any allowance in those days. I mean, my second brother, he, in the war, we went to a place in Townsend Road.
And rented that place?
Yes, there used to be a butcher shop on the corner, and we were the next house down. It's still there, I often pass there. That would be 1915 when the war started, the war started in 14, and my brother enlisted in, my mother wouldn't sign his, I had to get the consent of the parents, until he was 19. Well, he was 19, you see, and the day he was 19 he enlisted, because everyone rushed in to get the war. My other brother was on home service down in the barracks at Fremantle, and down the fort, or where the old roundhouse is, there was a fort there, and he was there. And I started to work in the lands department, that was in 15. See, I was just, 14, that was. I started to work in the lands in 14 and 16. And you had to pass an exam in those days, and I passed the exam and made permanent in October 1914.
Now, how did you get to work from Subiaco?
Oh, when in Rowland Street, we used to go by train. Because I was going to night school, you see, from there for a while, and then when we shifted up to the other end, go by tram those days, and just where we lived on the corner of down from Nicholson Road, I walked down a bit, and there was a loop there somewhere about Hatesbury Road, tram. But more often, we'd walk to Perth. Quite a number used to walk along Kings Park Road. You see, it was a good walk of a morning. I was a bit, I used to do a bit of running, and I played football, and used to keep in nick. And we always reckoned when you got to, say, the clock, you were downhill then all the way, and it wasn't much of a come home by tram. But I still travelled by train too, because I was going to night school. There was no night school at Subi in those days. It was in James Street. We had to go to James Street. We'd go down to walk from Nicholson Road down the railway station. It was a fair walk too.
West Subiaco Station.
What's that?
West Subiaco Station.
No, Subi.
Subi Station.
He drove straight down Rockaby Road. Down. There used to be a train used to leave there, I think about 20 to 9. Didn't mind the walk. So you're with them. We were there to Townsend Road after the war finished, and then went down to in Subi Council in Capon Street in Netherlands. Well, Crawley really, Capon. Yes. It's where Broadway Fair is now. And took a house there, and that was a war service home. But my brother, he took up a bit of land. That's the one to come back from the war, you see. But when he was then, there were only a couple then, and during the war I went down to the people, he was a station master at Subi, chap named, and a common name if you follow football, in the East, Danner.
Oh, yes.
You see, and he and Tom Danner and another chap. They had a farm out from, well, Cabellin, I think. But that was my first experience on a farm. I thought I was going to, you know, and he said I could go and down. And he met his brother, or his brother was like the station master, and he arranged for the other brother coming to meet me. They were about 10 miles out. And when I got there, when I got the train, got there in the afternoon and drove out, and I was looking for a house, and he only had tents. He spent my, I had just paid him here one time, taken, but he had a little pony broken in for me already, for me to, there. But he had two tents, you see there, his tent, sleeping he and these, the chap was farming with a chap named Billy Bohm, and this other tent beside where I was sleeping. And the big between the two, that was the dining room and everything. And this other chap used to do the cooking. See, those chaps worked hard because he would take out the chap there, the old Tom would take his team of horses out to see if he was ploughing or great seeding and that. And instead of milling that, would take his lunch out to him and bring the fresh horses out and bring the other ones in, you see. Those days farmers had a big team of horses. He'd have about 15 or 16 horses or more. He'd have about 10 in the team. Horses would be over 20, so that was a job looking after those. That was, by the way, that was one of my first holidays, I would say, away from home. And after that, that was in 20, I was in the Lambs, I played, they used to call it WAFA football in those days, there's a grading under the, they had a photo there, I think Chris Pope published in a silver paper there once, I think. I was just trying to find
that it. Was the amateur league.
Well, it was a sort of, they were following a chap that, Billy Orr was secretary of the league, and he went to the war, and I don't know, things, of course the football sort of collapsed. Subi had a good side in those days. They won the premiership in 12, 13, and missed in 14. And they wanted to go in 15, you see. Well, that was the end. There was practically, they played football during the year. That was the reign or the time of Clem Bain and Jack Beasley and Tom Outridge and Wally Steele and all those, you see, they played. Then they formed this WAFA, which got quite strong. We'd play full time, not like the reserves now. We'd play on the other ovals, it was only, when Billy Orr came back, he took over the secretary of the league, and he saw that this was going to be clashing with the league, because he was thinking of association in Victoria, you see, having two separate bodies, and this was he and Moffat was the president. Went ahead to see that we amalgam. We had some good footballers, you see, it was good enough for league foot, so in our side. But that was important. And then I went over to Atlantic. I knew Tom Souter, because Tom lived and come back from the war. He was with my brother in the Light Horse, and he lived down. Now, Nedlands in about Bruce Street, I think. They built some war service homes along there. He induced me to go over to West Perth, and I went to West Perth. There's no such thing as having a car. You see, you get a tram out to the Leaderville Oval and train till dark, and then we used to have to walk from Leaderville Oval over there to where the Princess Margaret Hospital and catch our tram down to Netherlands. Oh. And by the time we got home, it'd be 8 o'clock at night or later. By then.
That's the league.
League football, yes. Well, that's I was unlucky with the, you might say, I broke my wrist at CB Oval, playing against CB. And it got right, and I was a bit cautious, you know, they didn't seem to do good jobs on those days with breaks. And Dr. Carter, I think he came and fixed it up. And I did play a couple of games at the end of the season. Tom Shooter, they were scratching for teams in those days. He came and asked me, down at the Wacker. But the next year, that was the second time. The first year with Subi, WAFA crowd, I broke my wrist at Perth Oval. The second time with West Perth, I broke it again.
Same wrist?
Yeah, same wrist. So the Public Service Commissioner sent for me and he said, no, he said, you better turn up, cut out football. He said, you won't be able to get any more leave. He said, you've had two lots in 2 years, like in 12 months, really. So I didn't, I almost gave it away for but what was I going to say about that? Oh, that's right, he said that. No, you can't. So I didn't play for a good while. I did play then with, that's when they changed over to what they call the B grades, Westford B's. I played again, I'd got a bad knee, and getting up, see, coming in from Netherlands one Friday, Saturday night, I had to meet a chap there on the corner by the hotel. We used to go down a bit of dancing, and I would, you know, of course, been smart, I suppose, jumped off the tram before I stopped and my knee collapsed on me. So I had a bad knee for a good while. At 24, we went down to Netherlands in 21. That was the shifter from Netherlands. That's when the whole family broke up. When I say break up, not on the 10th, but my second brother was married, and my other brother was after the war, and he was down with the group settlements, even with public works for the group settlements. He was what they call on the clerical side on for the groups, you see. And he was living in Busselton. My sister, that's the one that's in hospital I rang now, she's 84, she was born in 1900. And there was only herself, and she had to get work. I mean, and my other sister had to get work. You see, there was no such thing as pensions. And we had to keep the place going. But then my younger sister, she got married. And my sister, that's the one here, gee, they used to be tough in those days. She went back to school, training college, over here in Bay Road. And she'd walk, her and another girl would walk from Cape Horn Street to there for mornings. Yeah. You know, it was nearly all through bush too in those days, all back until they hit, they'd get along to Princess Road, but then from certain part of Princess Road right till the joint of Bay Road, it's back only Sandtree.
You mentioned going dancing earlier. Where did you go dancing?
All around Catherine Street, Goldsworth. They always used to go to Goldsworth this Saturday night. It's the old, what's the name, church now, isn't it? Whatever it is. That is, what's the name there, the terraces.
The terrace houses.
Yes, there was two. There's one there and one on the corner of what used to be Mueller Road in those days, and then they changed it to Roberts Road, and now they're changing it back to Mueller Road. But you would dance every Saturday night, practically.
Did you ever go to King's Hall?
Oh, yes, the football club always used to run a dance at the King's Hall. I was secretary of the football there, and King's Hall, there was a big ball there, I mean, I think the St John of God Hospital Ball is there, used to be held there. And it was a nice floor to at King's Hall.
What other types of entertainment were there?
What's that?
What other types of entertainment were there? You went dancing and did you go to the pictures?
Oh, yes, well, I used to go to the pictures a lot. Well, not a lot, but in the summertime more when I didn't go dancing. I used to go in the old West pictures was where the, what the name is now, you can see the
building.
And then the gardens was the sides, you see, there. And,
what's that?
The Colosseum was on the other corner, wasn't it, you see? And, Southie, the chemist, was on the other corner. Now, Southie, his daughter, she used to ride a pony around Subi, and she married a chap named Griffiths. He was in charge of the one of those lighthouse ships. And that's the one on the corner they're pulling to pieces. She built that. And old Hubert Southie lived there with them until he died. Yes, he was a chemist, and his brother was a chemist in Perth on the corner of Wellington Street and, well, it's a forest place now, but it was only a sort of a arcade effect there. So in 24, that's when I was offered in the lands. I was a bit lucky. I was the last person before when the war started to be appointed permanent. Yes, I was lucky. You see, I gained 4 years permanent appointment that way. I always joke about it. I had long service leave in 1923. Long service. And I was really only just out of the junior stage. They sent for me there and asked me would I like to go to Albany. So I said yes. I went down there and it was a survey office in those days with all the groups out from Roundsville.
What year did you go to Albany?
24. I went there. I was a bit, you know, being keen on football. I went there, had to go on the Monday before the grand final and Subi won in 24.
Yes.
So I didn't see them win that one. 24. Well, I was there till 26. And they started, you know, the groups was folding up, and Tom Parry was the district surveyor, and chap known old George Shaw, who did live in Subi too. They were down there, and they had to be they were transferred too, and I, the more or less the commissioner come down and more or less closed their work, and the lands, the bit of lands work that was there left was done through the clerk of courts. But then they transferred me from there to Bunbury. So I was in Bunbury for 2 years. I left, went there in March 26, and it's sort of Christmas around about the end of the year, 28, and I played football in Bunbury.
Yes, went to Bunbury and stayed in Bunbury 2 years.
Yeah, over 2 years.
I spent
leaving then. I transferred into the Crown Law Department there. I was a sort of assistant on the counter, and went over to Collie for 3 months, and then from there I was in Katanning for a while, and then I was in Coolgardie for 3.5 months, and did a short period in Kalgoorlie, you see. I'd been on the relieving staff, you'd do these relieving. Then I came back and I was in Perth for a while in the local... What's that? Oh, no, it was Capon Street, not in Capon Street, in Townsend Road. We more or less, my other sister, the one there now, she'd passed her teachers and she went out to Gilliminning, I think, out from Narrogin, and she took my mother with her, you see, so that meant they closed there. There was none of us left then. she sold up in Townsend Road and went with my sister, and I was going to relieve in, and my other brother, that's what he finished up, he was finished up the Auditor General, but he went up to, he was the Audit Department, and he was used to go up the Wyndham Meatworks during their active part. He was in the Agricultural Bank too for a while, a good while. And my other brother, well, he sort of drifted into around and did, with the main roads he was with. So, when I came back, I went to the tanniness again for 3 months, and then I got the job down there, the permanent job. The clerk of courts went up to Geraldton and I got his job. So I was there for, I got married in Catania, and I was there till 39, May 39, and come down here, bought this block here. This used to be the old Salvation Army area, see, they used to have around there. And the house, there used to be a house over there, it used to be the superintendent, I suppose they'd call him, the army. He lived in that. But prior to that, a chap named Durack lived there, and he used to have a grocery shop in Subi. Durack and Mansfield, I think. Yes, Phil Mansfield and Durack. And he used to drive a sulky into from there to Subi. People said, "You're mad going out in the bush." But the army had right through the area, and they sold these blocks, and they cut it off from that, where that the garden starts, you see, they sold these, and some bloke in Subi must have bought one, because all the others, Snashel bought, and practically these others, because young Snashel, who played with Subi, he built that place next door. And when I come down to Catania, and we went down to Cossa, I said, "Well, we'll have our first year transferred, and we'll go down to near the beach." So I took a place, rented a place in just over from the railway line, going on towards the beach from Osmond's, that was handy because I could get a bus into work. I was down to Crown Law Department then. And I was sub-accountant then, I went there. And when I was in Catania, I decided I'd settle in and do my accountancy, which I passed, you see, and then that gave me the lead through as the accountant, sub-accountant. But that's when I was looking around and I saw there was a sign up on this one, for sale. And a black chap in Nicholson Road, Subi. So I went and saw him and asked him what he wanted. I can't remember whether I paid £70 or £170. It'd be £170, I think. But I was Yelverton's, who also, Yelverton's was, Mrs. Yelverton was one of the Bain family, Clem Bain's sister. And they built, just after I built, they bought that block there from Snashel. And because young Snashel bought this, and he offered me the corner block. His son was going into the army, you see, there was this Second World War, and he wanted to clean up all these things, and he asked me, was I interested in buying it? And that's right, £200, that corner block.
So. When you came back, how do you think
Subiaco
had changed?
Well, it changed. When we come down, that's from Catania even, we took a little place in Salisbury Street until I could get this place down in there. I see, I had to come down and I left most of my furniture, or not most of it, a good lot of it at Cadge. I didn't want to be worse. I knew I was going to have a look around and build, you see, and they took this place, but it was fairly new too, and I was surprised that the little rats were around, smell. we got out and got, went down to Mosman's.
So you
think
Sir
Jack Mosman left? Yes, it did. And there, a lot of foreigners was digging in Greeks and that, I think. I think there was more Greeks than anything. They used to run that open market, you know, just by the gardens there. I knew a few in Subi, of course, and naturally, Alf Buggams and all that crowd I knew from the earlier days of football, and I liked Subi to live in, but it had changed. I mean, the house that we had, the nice place in Barker Road, belonged to Darb, and you go along, it's pulled down now, and it was a nice place too. Because Ben, he was a builder, you see, and he had everything there. And, no, I suppose Subi did go down because Cadman's used to be on the other side. There used to be on the corner, there used to be a grocery shop, Richardson, and I think, he was the mayor, he was the member afterwards,
Wally
Richardson. But he, it was Richardson Brothers in those days. And he, where the other is now, opposite, that was vacant block for years. And the, always the merry-go-round always went there every time they come to Subi. But
where was Cadman's at first?
There was Richardson's, and then the next block there was...
did Cadman start on the corner of Park Street? And Rockaby Road?
Cadman's was on the corner of Baggett Road afterwards and Rockaby Road.
But before that?
That was practically
on
opposite.
The
there used to be the butchers down there, Beecroft, I think. And there used to be a fish shop on the corner of Barker Road. Of course, I can always remember when my father had come down, he wanted fish. I used to go up there before school to get some fish, and it used to come up on the train in Fremantle, a basket of fish in it. Yes, on that side there was, and of course Franklin, he had the draper's shop there in the Coliseum, and there used to be a little sort of boarding house a bit on the left hand side going down. That's all changed, but I think, I suppose there's a lot of sentiment with it. You sort of grew up with that. I suppose the young chaps do the same. We used to do a lot of running. There wasn't much sport. We used to, even after school, Abbott's, they had a pastry cook just up from... where the jewellers are now, a bit from there, there was pastry cook, and we'd run, and you'd race, run from, we used to start, Whittaker's was all Whittaker's right where it is now, you know, they had a big show there, and we'd start off there after school, we'd run up to about, horse troughs about before we got to West Subi. There was a crossing there somewhere, there and back, and the one who won had got an Abbott's pie. So I can imagine some of the young blokes running that far and back again for a pie. And this is interesting, I was nearly going to correct the paper one day. They talked about the marathon, so they were talking about the history of the marathon in WA. Well, the first marathon, they mentioned it was, the first marathon was won by a chap named Hildebrandt. And the Hildebrandts, he came back from, he went to war, of course, afterwards. That would be about 1907 or 1908. And I remember going down by the subway now, where they were coming through. They come through that way. It's all right, people saying, oh, yesterday they knocked time off, they got a nice road. But they started at the hotel down at by the Wacker, and they were the causeway, and she was pretty rough, a rough road right through to Apple Crossway, down on the, what they used to call the Perth Fremantle Road, and across the bridge down Fremantle, and back along, you know, through Cottesloe, all on rock road, you might say, and passing through Seaway, and everyone was following them along with bikes and that, and up through to the Children's Hospital way and around when George Street and down into the terrace and finished at the hotel where they started. And they talk about it, oh, these days they knock off, Tom. I said, these chaps, their feet was nearly raw. Yes. Were on this hard and metal, blue metal. And a chap named Hildebrandt won it, and they lived in Rowland Street.
Can you tell me a little bit more about the school there?
The school? Yes, well, I started in, I think, the first infants when we went on there, it was easy to walk through and that. And I think there was an elderly woman, I think her name was Mrs.
Julius?
What's that?
Julius? Miss Julius?
No, Mrs. Maxson, Mrs. I mean, she took the infants, I know.
Mrs.
Locke? Mrs. Locke? No, wouldn't be McIntyre, was it a McIntyre show? She was a, of course, I was perhaps. At any rate, then my mother, you know, always keen to send us to church, school, and went over to. See, this is the trouble with mixed marriages and over there. Well, I reckon that couldn't have done me any harm because I they over to the convent. So then my father was very. You know, anti. He was a German. You see, my father was German, and he was a Lutheran. And so you know, he said so. He took us away and sent us to Subi School. That's the big school, and had a few there. And Miss Stokel, she was one of the teachers there. And Jimmy Miles was this head teacher, and. Williamson, yeah, Jack Williamson, he was the one, he taught us in the fifth, and a chap named Chug, he was a teacher there too. And then, of course, the I went there from when I had to transfer over halfway through the year, I had to start in the lower third, but at the end of the season I apparently did all right in the exam because I was put into the upper fourth. So. And I mean into the upper fifth, you see, and I was foolish, because, well, I wasn't foolish, I suppose my mother was foolish, and wanted me to go to another, I went into St. Pat's in Perth, you see, but I was in the grouping when I was in the Jackie Williamson, I moved at that year, I was going to go in beginning the next year into the upper sixth. Well, in that year, you were in the, what's the name, grouping for, you know, the top ones at in Perth. I mean, not Perth, where they all, you know, good, like my memory goes, the modern school.
Oh, see? Modern school, yeah.
And I would have been in that grouping, because a chap I used to say, Jack Aspinall, he changed his name, they changed their name during the war. I used to sit next to him, and I reckon I was as good as he was, or perhaps better, especially in certain subjects. And yet he got a scholarship into modern. But I went to St. Pat's. I think my mother was influenced by the fact that they used to offer two or three scholarships from St. Pat's into Christian Brothers. Well, I got a scholarship from there, from St. Pat's. I played football with St. Pat's, and I got a medal there somewhere from St. Pat's football, and I went to, got a scholarship to Christians.
You mentioned that your father was German.
Well, he wasn't here, you see, he was in South America. Luckily for him, he got out of England before the war started and was in the Andes. And somebody must have had some pull, because instead of going to, in those days we had to go from the Subic School into James Street for carpentry on a Monday morning. And he arranged somewhere along the line, perhaps one of the shepherds or somebody like that he knew, that I be given the opportunity to, instead of going to carpentry, to go to the Lutheran school in West Perth. So I used to go there, and you're learning German all the time. I'm sorry afterwards I didn't keep it going, but I went there for 12 months. Instead of going to carpentry, I went into the Lutheran school Monday morning. Well, they wouldn't know unless you told them, I suppose. And one or two knew, but luckily, I suppose, if he'd have been in, we'd have been interned, you'd have to keep it very quiet. But when the war broke out, that was in 1914, well, I was at work at that time. That's when I went into the Lance Department. My first job, because I was only a messenger boy then, and one of my jobs, I went there in 1915 really, in 1916 I got the appointment, and I had to go and get some money somewhere at work, I'd been in 1915, so I went in 1913, I mean, I wasn't 15, just 15. And then in 1915, that's right, where you had the senior cadets, really. We used to train down there by Whittaker's in one of those old weatherboard, that was there, belonged to the army. And that's when my brother was, he was away at that stage, and my other brother was down Fremantle, and I was the only one home. But in 1915, when I started in the Lands, you see, and before I was appointed in first November 1916, I was just the messenger boy, and one of my very important jobs, of course, was to, in those days, they used to, about 11 o'clock every morning, they used to put up the latest cables from England about the war, you see, just in the old West Australian offices. They used to be down from the Palace Hotel on that side, and they put these notices, big notices there, and all the cables that come through. I used to go down and copy them, and bring them back to the I was in the roads and reserves branch, and bring them back, and the chap there, he was keen on it, one of the Botts family, he was in charge, and he had a map, and he had little flags, and see, he could post them up, and others around the department, they'd come and have a look at his map to see. And that was my job, one job every day. I'd go down with a pad and just write up things. In the depression, I was in. I was here. Katanning. I was in Katanning in. I got married in the depression. Yes, I went to Katanning in 29 and 31. We got a cut of about 18% of our salary. Just a minute, we didn't notice the depression. Katanning's a pretty good centre, you know, and some good farmers up to, and no anger up. was opened up after the World War, and there was the crowd, Easy Walkins crowd, their family and the Cockrums from Perth, and they all took this land out there towards Noongar and done in that way. But matter of fact, we got the cut in the government of about, finished up with about 20% off our salary, you see, and it was all right living. I was renting the solicitor, A.D. Smith, the solicitor down there. His wife had died, and when I got married, I was looking for a place, and he offered me his place, a nice place, and I took over from him, £5 a month, see, for rent, and so we were there till we come up in 39, but there was, like, wood was cheap. You'd get a big load of mallee roots for about £1, and I had one farmer used to bring me in a dressed cockerel and about a dozen eggs and some homemade butter for 10 bob. So, I mean, the fact that we got a cut, you see, we were also doing pretty well with these farmers. You could buy, of course, the banks took over, really, so they could dodge the banks. They would sell us around the town, the different things. And I noticed one chap in the paper yesterday, he died. I used to go out to his farm one time. Made a lot of friends there, and wife didn't like him to leave, really. But there was nothing we liked to do. We had pictures once a week, that was all. And occasional dance, and a bridge around the RSL bridge, and things like that, which all cheap amusement, really.
And it was the community, everybody was helping everybody out.
Oh, yes, you see. Matter of fact, I saved money in Katanning, I suppose, because, see, I had a couple of elections. I was like electoral registrar, and then I'd be returning officer for the district. Well, I struck an election in 1930 when I was there, and then in 33, and in 34, the member died, and I had another by-election, then I was collected, and the upper house election, then I became a return officer of the upper house. That come from Albany down up through to Wagen, the upper house province, and I would do that. So I was getting plenty of electoral there. And I didn't mind. I was secretary of the golf down there in Katanning. And that was also, you'd get an honorarium for that. And get all the sample golf balls that the travellers had come through. Give you two or three golf balls. And wife, she played hockey. She was a fair hockey player. Katanning had a good ladies hockey team in those days. They used to come up and win the country week. And but I talked her into, she got a crack one time in the side of the head with a ball. I come home from, I'd been to golf up to Narragin, and come home and she had this. So I talked her into playing golf. And she did all right in golf too. She was very fortunate to see a professional used to come down there occasionally. And naturally, I was secretary. I used to run his, take his bookings for him. And so he took her out and showed her the difference between trying to learn yourself and being shown made a lot of difference. And she won a couple of trophies, what they call a monthly medal. I think that's one of them up there, I think. There's something else you want here. You know, in a second year, and gone. So she missed it. See, she made a lot of friends she made a lot of friends when she was playing hockey too. But coming up here, we had to start again. Well, then the war was on, and the depression, and then the war started just after I finished building this place. And I knew Cyril Dudley. He used to come down with the Gulf Perth, you see. Great Southern there, well, we all...
He was involved in the football club too, wasn't he?
It's Cyril Dudley, yes, you see, yes, for Dudley. Dudley and Dwyer, weren't it, didn't they? But Cyril was the president of the Golf Association in Perth, and they'd come down to these... And the Great Southern meeting, we used to like have 1 year at Katanning, the next year at Narrows, and the next year at Pendley, and one at Wade's, and so every 4 years, well, you organise one, you had to organise, pretty big job, but you'd get an honorarium. See, there were always little pickups when in the country that you don't get in the city. But he wanted me to join here, in the Netherlands, because he was then interested in the Netherlands golf. The war started, and I said, "Oh, I'm mucking around at half," and they told me, you know, you couldn't get a game there. There was a lot of them pulled out of the golf with me. And so I didn't. I took my son to join Fremantle, because I knew a couple down Fremantle, but that was a fair bit out. And so he didn't. These clubs are in there now, are nice little clubs. See, then I came up to there. I was some accountant, that's where I come up, because I'd passed the accountant's exams, you see, I jumped, past a lot of the clerks, of course, you know, and seniors, and they resented it a bit. But I mean, I stopped home night night after night studying. I mean, weekends and everything else to get. I'd started two or three times before, you see, but being single, you're never home to do any. Anyway, you're boarding out, and you'd reckon you're going to have a night studying, and somebody wanted a game of cards, and you'd finish up playing cards instead. So I passed it. I did all right. I passed in 2 years. I got my qualification. Yes, you see. I still belong to them. They send me that. They make me a life. They made me a life member. I was over 50 years now with the institute. The different institutions have changed. What are we now? The
Australian Society.
Australian accountants, you see. But they send me these and I never even open them. I have a look at them occasionally. When the Stan Bowen, that was there, you might have, he lived in Seaway for a while. He finished up as the manager of the state insurance, but he was the accountant in there, and he went to the